Good evening, everyone. It is July the 14th, 2021. It is 8:31 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. Tonight's going to be an odd night because I have an interview with DEFCON X, formerly the artist formerly known as Hoi Polloi, and he wanted to talk to me on his podcast. I agreed to that, but because I'm very tight for time, I told him it had to be around 8:30 in the p.m. because I only have about an hour to sit in the studio. I did offer to discuss and chat in the daytime, but the audio, of course, wouldn't be quite as good because I'm on the road. So you'd have to deal with the ins and outs of mobile data and all the sounds that go along with that. Right now, I'm waiting for him. I don't see him. I did tell him to meet me on the Discord. If any of you want to join me on the Discord, I am open and available every night. You just have to drop into the Discord and send me a @ sign. You can email me. You can. That's the best way. Actually, I'll just log into the intake room or the verify room now. That's the noise you just heard, the Discord noise. I'll just sit here for a bit, and if you want, I will. I'm waiting for Hoi Polloi, though, but if you want to be verified or talk to the Fakeologist, you're more than welcome to. So while we're waiting, I will just review the blog, which is called fakeologist.com/blog. And, of course, my video site is fakotube.com. And that's where I host my favorite videos. Today I posted a very interesting video by Dr. Sam. And Dr. Sam Bailey is a very intelligent, beautiful doctor in New Zealand. She's a Kiwi. Oh, I hear from DEFCON X. DEFCON X. So I can see if he's joined. I just made a friend of him. Okay. And let's see if he wants to come in and chat over in the verify room. Or I usually tell people to meet me in the green room. Well, let me just answer his question. I'll tell him let's go. So he's messaging me in the Discord. Wants to talk this away. Hello, DEFCON X.
Hello. Hi.
Hiya. How you doing, DEFCON X?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. You can call me Max or Maxime for this, because that's how I introduce myself on this podcast.
Well, hello, Max, and welcome all listeners of the Max podcast. Does the podcast have a name? Have we started yet? Do I need to perform?
No, we haven't started yet. No, yeah, you should just be yourself. But I was wondering...
We are streaming live, by the way, on my channel, because this is my normal showtime, but I told my audience that this is a different kind of podcast, just fair warning.
Yeah, it is very... It's very structured, kind of, but okay. in that kind of structure where you're expected to challenge the structure a little bit. So, is that your best mic?
This is a good mic. Am I not coming through clearly?
It's pretty good. It's coming in as if, I don't know how to describe it. Almost like you're talking through a sock.
It's muffled to you, is it? It's muffled.
Yeah, muffled. Yeah, muffled.
Interesting. Well, that's the best mic I have on hand. I've been using it for a few months now. It's a pretty good quality mic. It's not the best mic, I'll admit that. I just got it came with the mic stand, so I left it all together. But yeah, it's not a $300 mic. It's probably an $80 Chinese mic, but it was working well. But it's still causing you agita.
Well, it's all right. I think it should be okay.
Because you have a little background hum to your audio if I could just volley back at you.
I could see if that helps a little bit. How's
well, it's
that?
Not bothering me. It doesn't bother me at all.
I know. I want to get all these audio issues kind of taken care of before I start, because I'm kind of wanting this to be something that's very pleasant. However, on the other hand, the interview portion is less controlled, because sometimes the interviews happen with a laptop. They're very spontaneous, so I don't really... And so, or they're even done over Zoom or something, and so it's a bit, like, lower quality. But let's just run with this. This should be good.
Yeah. Well, if anyone else has a complaint about my mic, please let me know, because I will be happy to upgrade mics in the future. I don't have any other mics on hand right now, but I always thought this wasn't bad. Stupid says we both sound good, and Stupid says what Stupid says is Stupid does. No. Is that from what Stupid says Stupid does? That was from Forrest Gump, wasn't it? Let me look that up while you're waiting. Stupid is as Stupid does. Mama says. Yeah, it's from Forrest Gump. I knew it. I have no idea what it means. I think Boy Polloy, or I think Max has disappeared. We can play a clip. Stupid is as Stupid does.
I didn't stay home for long because I'd made a promise to Bubba, and I always try to keep my promise. So I went on down to Biola Battery to meet Bubba's family and make the introduction.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess.
And of course, I paid my respect to Bubba himself. Hey, Bubba, it's me, Forrest.
Check, check. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was just watching a little bit of Stupid Is as Stupid Does. Remember that movie?
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Good, good.
Okay, good. If I switch... Okay, I'm running a kind of a weird computer with Linux, so if I switch apps, it will just, like, drop. It'll drop it, so I just have to kind of hold still. I'm going to try switching right now and switching back. Let me know if you can still hear me. I'll just continue to talk while I'm doing this. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, we're going to get started.
Okay.
So, are you ready to ready for the 7 questions?
Yeah. I don't know about the first question, because I don't usually give out my personal name, I think, if that's what you're going.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I am the fakeologist and Aberrado, so I don't... It's just not something I promote, but we can work around it. We can always talk about my pseudonym, because I have put a lot of thought into that.
Okay, give us that.
Okay. You can ask me the question. Direct.
Oh, okay. Well, where do your name and sense of identity come from?
Well, my actual Christian name is Tim, and I didn't choose it. Not my favorite name in the world. I don't know how many people love their name. I've never been a huge fan of my name, either long or short form. I know it's biblical. We're not particularly religious. I would say we're agnostic as a family. And generation one up and one more up and probably one more up from that. We're very agnostic people. Didn't identify with any religion. So in that sense, my name is, to me, it's almost meaningless. It's just a word. I don't really have a great affection towards it. But my pseudonym, I actually chose that because I put thought into that, well, at least 10 minutes of thought. And my first pseudonym was Aberrado, which means angry man. And I like Latin a lot. I think it should be taught in for at least a couple years in high school, because it is the root language. And angry man just basically described my condition when I found out that there was more to life than what we were told. And then I just simplified it into a single word for domain registration purposes. And I chose fakeologist. And fakeologist, of course, is the study of media fakery and all fakery in life. And it certainly can extend on to all lies, extend out to all lies, including the biggest one in the history of the world that we are in the middle of right now. So that is my identity. I definitely identify as a fakeologist.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I know that I outlined 7 questions, but mm-hmm. I hope you don't mind if I kind of dig into a little bit of what you said there.
You can talk about whatever you want. I have no issues at all. The audience might like to know that you're the only fakeologist I ever met in the flesh from the website.
Wow.
Yeah, it's you're the only one that made it through Toronto, where I live. And, of course, we met up for the day, and you got to go along on my work day, which is the main thing I do in life, is work, to support a family.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you thought it was, because I don't think I'd be as excited about tagging along with someone on their work day. But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, maybe I just like people, so I'm kind of curious about what they do and what makes them perpetuate their own lives mm-hmm. with whatever level of inspiration they have.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's a good way to be.
Thanks.
Hence the podcast, well, I guess.
Yes. And you said that Latin was the root language. Could you explain more about what you mean by that?
Well, I think Latin is definitely the root language of the English language, the legal language, the medical language. Many words aren't even translated from Latin into the medical legal system. So if we know the words, if we know Latin, then we'll have a better clue as to some of the institutions that rule over us. And of course, just ordinary English is heavily rooted in Latin. I would say Latin first, maybe Greek second. It really is a great way to understand language if you understand the root, where it or the origin of the words. So I always love words, and I like looking up words and learning new words. And of course, I work in an industry where there are few words spoken, and that's why I use my podcast almost to practice speaking, because I don't speak in the day, and I don't interact with high-level academics. So therefore, my language suffers. I know for sure I can't speak French, because in French, all we learned is in school how to write it. We never spoke it, rarely. And we all know that just because you can write a language doesn't mean you can speak it or understand it spoken to you at all. So
I want you to continue, but I just wanted to add that I think that the way you use language is very nice. And
thank you.
It almost has a musicality to it, like it would be very suited towards radio.
Thank God I'm on it, or whatever has replaced radio. I appreciate that. I try and be cognizant of the words I choose. I try and avoid the things that irritate me as a radio listener. I try and eliminate ums and ahs. I am,
you know, like, you know.
Oh, I don't know the.
I have way too many of those. So.
Well, I am super critical of like, you know. I think like is the most abused word right now with young people. It makes me crazy. So if I ever catch myself doing that, I will flagellate my arm wildly, just because that is such an egregious error. In my mind, it's just a filler word. I'm not exactly sure what the grammatical description of words that don't have any place in a sentence. They're just used as filler words to eliminate pauses. But I'm trying to do more pausing in my podcast. The only danger is in radio, we're told that if you pause, then people think the radio or the podcast has stopped or stuttered, and then they might panic and or change the channel. So I try not to pause too much, if possible.
I like that idea. And not to get too into the creative conversation of producing audio media, because we could certainly talk about that for some time, but I would suggest that there probably are a few ways of getting around that warning. For example, playing some very soft background music so that people know it's still going.
Yes.
And I would also like to add that certain amounts of pauses and silences are very useful. And it could be that it is only through the limitations of corporate media that we have these impositions, like you must always be talking to maximize commercial airspace and whatever.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I suppose as long as you're watching your screen where your audio is playing and you can see the counter still counting, then you know, even if it's quiet, that it's still going. But it's hard to the next thing to think about without pausing.
Yeah, and that is why pauses are useful and I think very human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
brings us to the next question.
Yeah, there's no rush to talk. But that pause was too long. Go ahead. What's the next question?
What does being human mean to you?
Oh, that's a very philosophical question.
But I feel as though you are somewhat philosophical, or at least you are a deep thinker, and you are trying to always articulate yourself better. I mean, but if you prefer a different question, the rules of the podcast are if you want to rephrase it in a way that means that asks something that is more interesting to you or gets at the meaning of the question better, please feel free to tell me what you think the question should be. But I've been asking this one for question two.
Well, can you give me one example of an answer that might send me in the right direction?
Someone said, I think I can give you a couple answers that are paraphrasing, of course. Someone said, well, I am a spirit in a human body, so I don't even really know how to, get into that. And then someone else might say, well, being human is about exploring a mysterious purpose while we're here or what have you. I think others have taken it more casually, like what does being human mean to you in society, for example. So it's an open-ended question.
Well, I think if maybe you could extend being human into the meaning of life, and I think it's pretty basic. The meaning of life is to reproduce and to extend the human condition into the future. Therefore, it's a biological meaning, a practical meaning to me. And the older you get, the more you realize that there's more layers to life, there's more layers to being human than just the basics, and these layers are just to make the experience a little more palatable and maybe a little less animal, where if we don't concentrate on making our conditions great for us and for our future, our progeny, then we're not doing a good job. But otherwise, the question can be very philosophical, and I don't think I've read enough books, perhaps, to give it a really good philosophical answer. I'm a very practical person.
That sounded pretty philosophical. I mean, that's philosophical but practical. You're saying, what I'm hearing is being human is about reproduction, and yet that's just the sort of the physical aspect of it, and there's all these other things going on the side that kind of give it flavor.
Yes, give it greater meaning, perhaps. And we get the humanity from other people. We just learn how to behave and act and potentially live out the rest of our lives by learning from other people and modeling ourselves mainly after our parents, because for most families, at least it used to be, that their parents are the most important people in their lives, and they depend on them for a long time until they are fully formed and fully, or at least independent enough to take a shot at life on their own without too much assistance. But yeah, I don't, nice. I can't get any deeper than that. I wish I was deeper than that, but sometimes I think if I get too deep, I'd lose the whole audience.
Is being human about capturing an audience, perhaps? Or...
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Being human is just being... I hate to be too corny with corny phraseology, like, for instance...
You're free to be corny here. You have permission on my podcast to be as... corny, cheesy, emotional.
Yeah, I don't get emotional.
Real as you want. You don't get emotional.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty, pretty stoic. See, now I said a word. I should look it up to make sure I used it correctly. I often do that. I'm pretty stoic. I'm pretty straight up. Yeah, stoic. No, that's philosophy. It says no stoic. That's a that's a philosophical movement. Stoicism. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't have any corny phrases. We should let's move on to another question, because I sometimes think if it's too broad an idea, then it just doesn't sound sensible.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so then this might be problematic, because the whole podcast is about kind of broad concepts and
I'm up for a challenge. We're doing something that I don't normally do. This is a different type of podcast, and I know you are a deep thinker yourself, so I want to try and get up to your speed and get into your headspace to try and test myself to see if it's something I can do. I can't guarantee I can do it. Just like we know, or we're told, that a good portion of the world can't be hypnotized. I don't think I can be hypnotized. So, in other words, my mindset, I just don't have those synaptic connections to get me into that area. Now, no one's really professionally tried to do that. So I know you're a more philosophical, deeper thinker than me. So your questions might just bounce off me because I don't resonate with them. But I can try.
Well, would you be, if any of these, let's, moving forward, if any of these questions don't feel like something that resonate with you, I wonder if you would still be interested in this project of helping me develop the questions in such a way that these seven questions will do something towards saving the entire world.
I'm always up to saving the world, so if the questions can assist in that way, I'll try. For sure.
Okay, cool.
I didn't know we were trying to save the world, but that's interesting.
I'm sorry. Actually, I should have introduced them properly. I call these the seven questions to save the world.
Oh, wow. Is that the name of the podcast?
No, that's the name of this segment of the podcast.
Okay. Let's try it.
Okay, the third question in an attempt to save the world is to ask people this. What evokes wonder in you?
What evokes wonder in me? Can you ask that in another way?
Well, I recently replaced this question, thanks to the previous guest. I asked the question... Question three used to be... I'm trying to recall it. It was, have you ever had an experience that made you kind of question your entire reality?
Well,
and could you tell us about it?
Well, I think the one we're in right now has me questioning my entire reality. Because we are in the greatest mind control experiment in the history of the world that we know of. Because we only know the history we're told. We don't know if we're in the only book of history or this is the 50th book of written history. But the wonderment here is for me, is for the mass stupidity of the entire world and how it's so clear to me what's happening and so unclear to the majority. So that evokes incredible wonder about how the human condition works and how only a very few people in the world that hold the lever of power can understand this and manipulate it right in front of people without them even understanding that they're being manipulated. So it's just the human condition that is on full display right now in 2021 that makes me wonder.
Let me break that down in a couple ways, if you don't mind. It sounds like we're suggesting that, first of all, that someone can have a greater grip of reality than someone else. Mm-hmm. And second of all, that can be concentrated as a commodity of some kind. And there's a nefarious population, a small population, it sounds like you're saying, that has concentrated this is controlling it for nefarious purposes.
Well, it's nefarious to me, but it may not be to them. But that makes me wonder every single day. And it's fascinating to me. I can't explain it. I don't know what makes people like me and of course yourself above the majority of the population. We're on the good side, I think, because we're not trying to exercise this power. But we are trying to understand how it works, and we're trying to understand why it works. So that evokes wonder to me. That's my main focus, and has been for 9 years. I can't get off it. I can't get out of it right now. I'm not trying to understand, for instance, why biology works the way it does, because that, of course, the miracle of life is probably one of the most magical things that we can't even begin to understand. But just day to day, of course, we're in this COVID psyop, and I just am wondering if people that understand what's going on are going to be able to cope with the vast majority that are complete drones that are potentially heading towards a group demise. I don't like to be too down on the situation, but sometimes I wonder. So there's a lot of wonder going on.
Wow, that's intense. I
know.
I think you're the first guest that's had such an apocalyptic kind of narrative about what's making you, what's woken you up to some new understanding. Is it possible that you could be wrong?
Well, I put the question out there 9 years ago to see if anyone else saw what I saw, and so far there's more people every year that agree with me. So that means that they are wrong too. Now, that still means the majority don't see what we see. They may say we're wrong. But I think a growing number of people, as they get squeezed into the grinder, at least have now time to think about things and are pausing a little more to think about what's happening in the world. And they're probably way behind us, so their wonderment level is much higher. But
do you ever get concerned with your use of the words like above and ahead and things like that, which kind of juxtapose a division in humanity where one is apparently better than another?
Well, no. No, because I don't think people are equal in any way. They are biologically equal for a while, but overall, no. No, no, it's okay. I understand that there's a strata in life. There's a strata in knowledge, a strata in the physical. And I'm okay with being in my whatever level I am at. I don't even know what level I'm at. I know I'm not at the dumb level. I'm not stupid.
What's your threshold for your tolerance of language like...
Like
that. such as people saying one population is superior to another.
I have no problem saying that there are a group of people in the world from all physical and cultural backgrounds that are smarter than others. That just makes sense. That's just a biological fact. So I have no problem with that.
So the thing that evokes wonder in you, to summarize, if I'm understanding correctly, is that some people are apparently smarter in some way?
No, actually, I'm more in wonderment about how easy it is to manipulate people, the vast majority. That's my greatest wonder. Now, does that make the manipulated stupid? Maybe. Does it make them weak? Maybe.
I see.
Yeah. Like, I don't see how anyone can bring up any other topic of wonderment in the last year and a half. Now, there might have been a different answer for me before I got into seeking truth.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's just about all that counts, all that matters.
Would you be surprised to know that there's been 15 episodes before this where people gave a completely different answer?
Well, if they were done during the time that we're in, yeah, that's surprising. But maybe people block out the reality of the day. Because there isn't a place on Earth that's not talking about what I talk about on a mostly daily basis.
Excuse me.
Edit that out.
Yeah, I'll be editing out a lot of this.
Do you do a lot of editing? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I will be editing out quite a bit. I try to keep things digestible. It's not like... Clues Chronicle, which was, 5 hours at times. These are kind of like meant to be 20 minute to 1 hour long.
Well, I hope it's interesting. I can't guarantee that I'm interesting, by the way. If you clip me up.
No, you're very interesting, but it's interesting in a way that I haven't explored on the podcast yet. So that's what's great about it, is that it really, everyone is so vastly, the thing that I'm fascinated by is every single person I've interviewed has been, I'm always shocked. I'm like, oh, well, this person is different from all the previous people. And then the next person, though this person is completely different from the others. Like I just keep getting drawn into each person's world.
Well, that's great. I think everyone's interesting because we all have, there's an infinite number of experiences in this human world, and they're all available to all of us, but most of us stay in a super narrow band that we function in for our whole lives. It's unfortunate, but most of us, that's how we live. Did you know that I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I think it's about 95% are born and die within 5 miles of the place they're born. Yeah. Did I say that correctly? 95% of the population die within 5 miles of where they were born.
You're probably correct. I'm remembering it as 50% of the population within 50 miles, but
oh, wow.
That number wouldn't be shocking to me either.
Yeah.
In any case, let me try to wrap up question three.
Okay.
Is that an okay question to ask people? And do you think that asking this question will get responses that lend itself to saving humanity? Or should I change what evokes wonder in you to something about stupidity and
well, I don't know how this. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this can save humanity. That's a pretty. I would say that's a pretty focused list of questions, and what evokes wonder is. I don't see how it relates to saving humanity.
But weren't you just talking about how being aware of something could prevent like a large population from doom?
Yeah, but that's my particular bent. Every question I answer is in my truth paradigm. I'm stuck in a truth paradigm, and it really can annoy just people that aren't in a truth paradigm that are around me. It's probably extremely annoying because I have a very focused mind, and I'm not sure how I can break out of it. Maybe if I started abusing alcohol or drugs, that could get me out of it, or just create destruction in my own life. But unfortunately, it's the only topic that I can think about, because when a false reality is presented to me everywhere I go, it just causes me to react in my truthful way. Like, you can't even ask me about a movie, a story, anything. It just gets filtered through my super cynical truth lens and boiled down into the only way that it can possibly make sense to me.
Well, are you a stoic or a cynic? You have to pick. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So to kind of boil it down, it sounds like
mm-hmm. I'm looking up stoic while you're...
A lot of things evoke wonder in you and wake you up to different ideas of reality all the time. Is there a first instance of that you can recall that really made you shift into this, what you call, truth paradigm?
Well, everyone here knows my story, that it was... maybe your favorite story, and that was 9/11. And that was just the investigation into an event that the whole world experienced somewhat simultaneously, and making the incredible realization that the story was absolutely not as we were told. That was the absolute pivotal moment that I realized that there's a whole other side that I knew, didn't know existed, but I knew when I found out about it that it answered so many questions that just were left unanswered. So yeah, 9/11.
Wow, that's beautiful.
9/11 for sure, for sure. And of course, your great contribution to that research really blew the whole thing wide open for me, to which I'm eternally grateful.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
Oh, absolutely.
A subject for another podcast, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done a million podcasts on it. I won't even mention the specifics, but just pivotal. Maybe it was for you, too.
Perhaps so. Question four. What is the best way we can honor life?
The best way we can honor life is to continue life and to promote it and to extend it into the future, for sure.
And that's very succinct.
And reproduce.
Question five. And reproduce.
Absolutely.
Question five. What does community mean to you?
Community means, and I learned this recently, that you go find the others that are of like mind and try and resonate with them in a positive way.
Oh, that's very nice. That's really nice to think about.
Well, yeah, I had a really interesting podcaster come into the community here. And Fakeologist is just a tremendous community. It's therapeutic to me because I don't have to argue with the people that come by. They are of very similar mind. We only argue about trivial and trifle things for the most part. So therefore, we know we agree on a high percentage basis, and we can then explore other topics without getting into too much friction. And one of those people that came on had a username, Go Find the Others, which I needed a little bit of explanation. And when he explained that you shouldn't waste your time with communities that are foreign and hostile or toxic to you, you should go find the others, which I think he lifted from a Timothy Leary expression and maybe modified it to his own username, Go Find the Others. I just thought that was brilliant, where that's the best way to survive. That's a survival mechanism for human beings. You just have to stay with your people in whatever way you identify yours as. It could be the same culture, the same geographical location, the same religion, really the same belief system. The belief can be in so many different forms. But yeah, that's community is just resonating with people that are like-minded. Because you really have a limited time, and you should just try and make the best of it and try not to struggle with too many conflicts, because there's not enough time to resolve all of them. So you should really try and resonate with people that are like-minded.
Cool. Question six.
Mm-hmm.
What projects or collaborations are you presently most excited about?
Well, the project is the project I'm in, the 9-year project of Fakeology, the study of media fakery, and extending it into a broader community, because I think it's a very valuable, positive way of looking at the world. And it's an excellent way for people to feel better about what's happening around them. But yeah, I am deaf. This has been my daily project, daily, for 9 years. I don't think I've really had a day off from it, a full day, where I haven't tried to work on it in some way, whether it be software or whether it be writing something or recording my voice, saying something. And my favorite thing, of course, is meeting new people that maybe have been listening or lurking, and then they finally decide that it's time for them to say something and chime in and add their voice. So that's what I've been working on this whole time. And enjoying it.
That's great. It does raise a question for me that you say this is kind of very uplifting for you,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time, I remember under question three that you sounded almost sorrowful for the people who haven't made it to some level of awareness or understanding. So you must think in some way that your project or collaboration might be saving the world a little bit, perhaps,
or
maybe it's doing something to change your perspective?
Well, there is some trepidation around my research, and will it always be able to go on and in a hostile world? Because I think what we're going through now is a war. It's dangerous. And I'm most leery of mobs and mob mentality and what the majority, the tyranny of the majority. And because all my research is and interest is information based, sometimes I worry that the information that can help unravel the majority's profound ignorance may be looked at in a hostile way, and they may try and end it. So it's a bit of a race between the awakening of the majority or the elimination of dissent. They're both.
And you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen more and more people coming to your project with appreciation, I'm hearing. So it sounds like it's kind of a. It's going well.
I think it's going well. I think it's moving in a positive direction. I wish it would move a little more quickly, but I'm not sure what the trajectory is going to be in the future. And I don't have the answer to increasing its diffusion into the masses. And I know you have a lot of experience with this yourself, because you and I have been in the same area for a long time. We've often talked together about how we can diffuse our less than majority views. So it's a huge challenge. I don't have a propaganda ministry behind me. I have one in front of me blocking me at all times. Therefore, it's definitely an uphill battle. But it feels right. I'm being true to my views. I don't have to remember anything that I'm researching because I'm not making it up. Even if I keep rediscovering the same thing and keep repeating it, that's still being true to the way I look at things. Because I know it's true. It's true to me, it's true to many people, and I reconfirm, maybe with confirmation bias, every day by looking at certain stories and finding certain evidence and pieces of them that fit my worldview. And I do look at the other side of the story. I don't mind someone challenging me, but I don't get a lot of challenges, so I do end up repeating and refinding all the things that I've been looking at for the last 9 years.
Are you interested in a small challenge?
Sure. Tonight's a challenge because this is a different type of podcast for me. So,
yeah. Well, one thing that I've been going through is experiencing the realization that there have been many, many people throughout known time believing they have the one truth and trying to push it on others, often in a aggressive or hostile way, and I don't think you're doing that, and I don't think I'm doing that. But I wonder also about the value of not doing it and trusting the universe to nurture us and take care of us without our feeling any desperation to push a particular view. After all, we could be compared in some ways to zealots of a religion. And as you may have also realized yourself, every religion has its benefits and its things that it takes away from humanity. And I think that all beliefs have value, even ones that we might view as stupid in a particular time. Mm-hmm. So the challenge I would bring is there some way that you can feel good about what you're doing without feeling the need to convert people to your views?
Well, yeah, and I don't ever think I want to convert people. People need to pull the information from my website and from me. I don't push it on them because I know of the old story, Grimm fairy tale, maybe it was, between the sun and the wind, where they issued the challenge. Challenge was issued to them, who can make the man remove his coat? And, of course, the wind was the pushy one, and the sun was the gentle one, and the sun won. Long and the short of it, without telling the tale exactly. So, no, I just like to present what I think is the right information and let people come to it. So I don't really try and push people on it. I give people a small branch or even a small thread and place it in their reach. And if they pull on it, then I will give them the whole ball of yarn as time goes by. I know for sure you can't convince people of anything, especially as they are older and more set in their ways. But yeah, I don't.
How do you reconcile your calm behavior with the seemingly turbulent inner world of concern for their well-being if they don't understand the information?
Well, I don't know why I'm a calm person. I certainly have been around enough hysterical people that I just know that their hysterics don't work and they get people turned off really quickly. So I like to be a little measured and a little calm. And maybe I just don't have enough energy to be super hyper. But I've always just been one to sit back and watch the loud people do a show. And I often am envious of them. But at the same time, I usually think, oh, I couldn't do that. And I'm glad that I'm not that kind of boisterous personality. But I think it's just something that's innate. I don't necessarily think you can change your nature very easily. I don't think I can really change my way of thinking. So I sort of speak the way I think. I'm not a fast thinker. Maybe I'm a sort of a slow, deep thinker. And I don't get many concepts. Any deep concepts. I think I'm more a mile wide and an inch thick, and I'm not deep in any subject really, except fakeology, of course, which is just a collecting and a collating of what I think is truth. But yeah, my slow demeanor, my calmness is really not something that I've worked on. It's just me.
I suppose it's all how you manage depth. I think that sometimes you dig a hole in your shallow, wide lake, and sometimes you cover it up again, and you say, "Well, no, I'm only about an inch deep." But it's also how you measure depth, perhaps to a small being, your depth is pretty dang deep and insurmountably wide.
Yeah.
But to, you know,
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was meant to be encouraging, but
no, I'm fine. I don't mind being. I am the way I am. I'm not. I'm happy the way I am. I practice trying to speak positively. That's one thing I practice on a few things, and I'm content with my knowledge. I'm content with what I know. I think I can navigate life. Life is definitely a challenge. It's difficult. It's definitely very imperfect. And there's imperfection all around us, and we just have to deal with it without getting too stressed out, because the purpose of life is to make it to the end and not short circuit out early. I'm the hare in the tortoise and the hare analogy. I'm the tortoise rather. I watch the hare fly by. That's the way I live. I'm the tortoise. And hopefully I'll make it to the end in the best shape possible. But yeah, I'm not changing. It's too late to change my way of dealing with life. I think it's working so far. I've made it past the halfway mark now, if you want to measure it in an annual linear way. And hopefully the best is yet to come.
Absolutely. It always is. Question 7. How can we all realize... Question 7. How can we all realize more human happiness together?
Well, just try and focus on the positive future and not get too bogged down and dwell in the past. Really just concentrate on finding people that are like-minded and try and figure out how you can make the people around you more positive by, in my case, seeing through the lies that are hurting people. So trying to get people to shed their negative, dangerous thoughts, including myself. Obviously, I can get caught up in negativity easily, and it's a constant challenge. So, but it's mainly, I think, to seek out the others that think like you. I think that's a major key, and not get overwhelmed with the negativity, which is deliberately.
That's a great message.
It's deliberately sown all around us. We know it's a tactic to disorient and discombobulate people and get them off what is good for them, for sure.
That's a great message. I'm wondering if you wonder, like how I do, whether some of that sowing of discord is actually an attempt that people are making to find community, and they're just doing it in such a clumsy way that they end up dividing people.
Oh, no, I think the people that manage the human flock are deliberate in all their actions. There's no mistakes made. They're not trying to help. I am convinced of that. There's no mistakes. No mistakes being made in the sowing of discord. Nope.
Well, that's clear enough. Let's move on to the second segment, which is all about music.
All right.
What is your choice of song? And you can take your time with this. We're going to just talk about how it makes you feel and why you like it.
Oh, I have so many songs. And actually, I love music, of course. And when I hear different music, and I don't have a wide breadth of music. I've been exposed to most music, but I'm a product of the 80s and 90s. I would say the 80s. I grew up in the 80s with music, and that caused me to look into the immediate past, which was the 70s and the 60s, which, because it was the largest population of the era, therefore it was the most creative, because there were just sheer numbers situation where there's so many people, there were just more creative people available. So therefore, 60s, 70s, 80s is my music, and nothing today.
So we're talking things like, let's say, so Simple Minds.
Well, that's more the late 80s, I think.
The Residents?
I can look at my music folder now, and I will look at it right now and see if I can pull it up. Actually, I can't find it right this second. But I can look at my music catalog and tell you all the different groups that I really do enjoy. And I'm going to find it right this second, and I'll just go through it and read. Oh, here it is, Music Tim. Yeah, that's me. So I have, for instance, I could rhyme off a few of the main folders, which has most of the music in each folder from a particular artist. So, for instance, and this is not a definitive list, but I can say quickly, in alphabetical order, I'll read it quickly. ABBA, Adele, Alan Parsons, Alanis Morissette, Amanda Marshall, Amy Winehouse, Beatles, Bee Gees, Boston, Chalk Circle, Crowded House, Electric Light Orchestra, Elton John, Elvis, Eminem, Genesis, George Harrison, Jerry Rafferty, Grease, Honeymoon Suite, NXS, Jefferson Airplane, Al Jolson, Kate Bush, Kim Mitchell, Lord, Loverboy, Neil Young, Nirvana, Olivia Newton-John, Paolas, Pink Floyd, Queen, Ray Charles, Roger Daltrey, Ruel Rush. I have Simon Shack here. You'll be happy to know. He has a directory on my music folder. There's a really fascinating guy that I don't even know if he's a real person, called Sixto Rodriguez, or Sugar Man, which is a fascinating story. Squeeze, Steely Dan, Supertramp, The Call, The Cars, Tom Cochran, Tom Petty, Tracy Chapman, Tragically Hip, Yes, and tons of other miscellaneous people that don't have their own folder, but they have quite a few songs. So it's...
That's a great list. I was wondering if you had one particular song that you'd want to review because of how maybe it always makes you feel, or maybe just lately makes you feel, and well, it's been on your mind, or...
Well, I'll give you tonight's song that came up, and it was one that I was humming because another song evoked... a passage in another song evoked it, and it sounded like a guy talking into a phone, and then I couldn't remember the name of the song, so I hummed it a bit. Nobody around me could identify it, so I just kept recirculating it in my brain to see if I could spark some neurons to get it. And I pulled it up, and then I looked it up on YouTube, and I did keep a copy of it in my musical directory. So then I went on YouTube, and someone uploaded it 5 years ago, and it has 521 million views. And I thought, for what I think is a one-hit wonder, that is insane. But maybe I don't know the artist well enough. I just knew the one song, and I haven't...
Me guess. Is it Video Killed the Radio Star?
That's a good one, too. But I don't know if you've heard of it. I can play it for you. It's called Feel Good, Inc. Feel Good, Inc.
Oh, that's Gorillaz.
Oh, see, you know it. So is that the
80s? I don't think we played Gorillaz in a while. No, that was the early 2000s. They're one of my favorite artists.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Let's go through it and talk about it.
I don't even know what they're saying, to be honest with you. I just like the music. I've always been one person that could never make out the words in most, and I've always bought albums where you could get the lyrics, the LP, or the, yeah, they're out, albums. to get an album cover so I could, but just could never get most words, never get most meaning unless they spoke super slowly or it's a ballad. But I couldn't even give you one sentence from that song. I have no idea what they're talking about. But you can still like the song.
That's actually one of the fun things about them is Gorillaz are known for, I think, is it Damian Sheridan? I can't remember the lead singer, but I think he was also the lead of Blur.
Okay.
And he is known for making cryptic lyrics, but also some songs genuinely like Glossolalia or whatever, where you can't quite understand what he's saying or singing. That's one of the joys of that group, in my opinion.
Yeah, Damian album. Yeah, 1998 was what it's a virtual band, it says here. I don't know. I really don't know anything about them. I just know that that song resonated. And sometimes I
don't. The artist is.
Yeah.
The artist who does the illustrations and the animations is the guy behind the comic book Tank Girl, which was a big 80s underground comics hit in the black and white boom.
Yeah, that's your area of expertise. I am not a comic book person. I know almost nothing about comic books. The only comic book, if you want to get into my comic book history, is called Tintin. And I got all those books in the 70s. They were hard to find.
Claire Jane.
Yes. And
he made the Clear Line style. Or at least he made it very popular.
Whatever the Clear Line style is. I just thought they were really interesting mystery stories. The art was beautiful. And the characters were interesting. And yeah, that was the extent of my comic books. I guess those are comic books. So yeah, that's your area of expertise for sure, isn't it? Comics and artist and illustration.
I know something about it. However, I think most people would be disappointed in my community with how little I know about comics, actually. I enjoy the art form more than I enjoy a particular artist from the art form, if that makes sense.
Sure. Makes sense
but
to me.
But anyway, you can stream it right in your channel, correct?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay. Are we going to end on that, or is that going to be an intermission?
That is somewhat of an intermission, and then we go to the last couple questions.
Okay. I am going to...
Thank you for answering the 7 questions to save humanity, by the way. I'm not sure how much progress we've made, but hopefully it's done something good.
I hope so. And here we go. I'll play it. Sorry, I muted myself. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why that's a little stuttery. It might be a function of the Discord.
That's all right. If you know it well enough, let's just go ahead and talk about it.
I honestly don't know the lyrics. I just like the song, to be honest with you.
What do you like about it?
I just like the music. And I like the way it has some unusual sounds to it. It's the actual part where he just starts talking through what sounds like a phone is an interesting sound as well. It was just sort of a funky, untraditional, a song that I would not say I mostly identify with. I just like something different, so that's what it is. The best way I can describe it, I really can't get too much deeper than that.
Did you first hear it on the radio, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the radio hits.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio for sure. Yes, alternative radio. We call it alternative radio here.
Yeah, that's so interesting because for me, that is one of the more mainstream songs that I listen to. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's also still quite alternative in some ways. My brother says that Gorillaz is fun because they basically take existing genres and just put their own kind of unique spin on each one.
Yeah, I honestly I don't even know their whole catalog, so that's maybe you guys sound like you're deeper into it than I am, so I don't know.
I'm not sure. I would suggest listening to some of their newer stuff. It gets very weird, and they start to have more guest artists,
mm-hmm.
people who are famous. I think or even semi-famous. They have some. Their newest album includes Elton John.
Yeah, it says here they turned 20. They're 20 years old. That's interesting.
Yes. And also Beck, and they have done some amazing collaborations outside of actually the more well-known names, like Snoop Dogg. One of my favorite songs of theirs is a funny remix of sorts by a DJ that, as far as I can tell, is known mainly for that strange remix.
Yeah, I had no idea they were so big. Wow, I'm looking at their YouTube channel. It's big. A lot of stuff. Tremendous catalog. Who knew? Well, you knew, but I did not. You have a name of something I can play, and I can adjust the sound so it doesn't. I didn't know it was stuttering on your side. It wasn't really stuttering here.
Okay. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find that track. Hold on. This will be clunky and clattery while I type because I'm not sure how to mute on this right now.
Yeah, they have tons of stuff. Well, I can finish playing the song. Oh, actually, I think I. This Gorillaz. What an interesting. I wonder what does their latest stuff sound like? What is this? 20. Gorillaz turns 20. What is this about? 20 years and 30 seconds. Did that come through at all?
No, not really.
Yeah, I guess you can't. Yeah, I see. Let me just, with Discord, it comes through fine on the server, but you aren't hearing it. So that is something I can easily fix. Discord has some audio issues for sure. So I just have to lower the threshold, and then you're going to hear it. So I couldn't quite see what you're seeing and what you're hearing, rather. Let me just see if my light comes on when I'm playing this for you. Then you can tell me. Let's see if this comes through. Is that coming through?
A little bit, yeah. Like it's underwater.
I think that's coming through solidly for you. It makes me wonder if
I wish it were.
No?
But no. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm going to edit in all the full quality versions.
Let me see if it's a YouTube thing or a browser issue.
If you want to, the track that I really like that I'm talking about mm-hmm. is Clint Eastwood with Ed Case and Sweetie Irie, the Refix. And Sweetie Irie is amazing here. He does some really interesting rapping that I haven't heard before and haven't heard since.
Okay. Let's see. Tell me if this comes through. This how you got Sweet Irie and Sideman called Ed Case with the Gorillaz. Refix in a seat. Na na na, oh man. Na na na, na oh. It's a bigger routine. Sure. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on, it's 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 Okay. I knew a piece of that song. What is the core of that song?
Yeah.
What is the name of that?
The original one is Clint Eastwood, but what I love about this particular version is that instead of going with the radio hit expectations, they kind of merged it with an almost reggae hybrid with techno.
Yeah, I like that.
And I love how they're playing with the genres and just moving freely between them. I really admire that about artists who can kind of give you a feeling like you're listening to something that you're expecting, that pop song kind of satisfaction, but then it moves you into a droning where you're just hearing something over and over in a very nice hypnotic way. But like you, I don't know if I can actually be hypnotized. So instead, it just becomes a pleasant sensation.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was good. I like the original song. I guess it's called Clint Eastwood. I was getting mixed up. I thought Clint Eastwood was in the song or had some cameo. But yeah, it's I like it. It's good stuff.
Very cool. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Do you think you will check out more Gorillaz music in the future, or do you find yourself getting distracted by, you know, a million different artists?
Well, now that I know it, they're so prolific, I think it's possible. I tend to gravitate towards the top 10 songs of an artist. I'm very much attuned with, say, Spotify's most popular songs per artist. I tend to go far and wide with artists. I don't get too deep with some artists.
I love it. That's like your motto.
Especially when they lose. Yeah, because any enduring artist goes through different sounds and different, they take different pathways, and I'm not loyal to a fault. I don't follow them down every street they travel. There's just no way. They have periods.
So let's...
Yeah, they have periods that I like, and then they take a different path and we part ways.
That's awesome. So let's talk about that pop music phenomenon. Why do you think pop music has that particular draw, and the things that don't quite make it to the radio, the things that might be a little too weird or a little too that artist without the broad appeal, why does that draw us in? Is it actually that the songs are better? They're better balanced, or...
Well, I think they're formulas. The human mind is well understood by people that create and cater to it. And there are formulas of bridges, of whatever the compositions of songs are, whether it be bridges or... I don't know all the components of a song, just... different frequencies, different... there's only so many combination of chords. I think there was a few YouTube videos that showed there was a certain three-chord sequence that has been used in most of the top hits. And I think human minds are well understood, and that comes into play when you create music. I think whoever the Beatles were, whatever conglomerate created their library, I think they knew exactly what works and what sells.
Fascinating. So you're someone who, on the one hand, kind of wants to help people resist mind control, and on the other hand, you have an almost admiration for it and how it can play with and entertain the mind in general.
I have an admiration for anyone who's figured out the system, figured out how it works. And I just think that humans are way simpler to the smart people than we can imagine. We're not that complicated.
Yeah.
We're not as complicated. We can, we have trigger points. We're easy to figure out when you have the formula and you can pass it down to the people that want to continue on the manipulation of the human condition for sure. I'm sure of it. Music especially.
So this kind of leads pretty well into the question from the last guest, Gopi. What I usually do is ask people to ask the following guest a question that they won't hear any answer to unless they listen to the next episode. And Gopi asked the following guest, which would be you, who is a person or character or cultural figure from your own culture who still succeeds in inspiring you?
I am not a great follower of people. So I don't
You like the technology, but you don't really follow like particular individuals, right?
Yeah, not really. Not really. There are some people that are super brave that if you wanted to ask me right now today who I think is being very brave and seems real, because I know I'm easily deceived, even though I study deception. I know I can be deceived. And right now, in the community that is trying to expose the tyranny that's befalling the land of Canada, I think there's a young guy who is very inspirational that is getting a lot of flack. He is, he's brash, he's arrogant, he is energetic, he is sort of uncontrolled, well, he appears uncontrolled, like a wild horse, and people are trying to harness his energy, and I am following him on the daily right now, as like a storm, he's tracking across the land back and forth. Right now, it's not going to mean anything perhaps in 5 years or even 1 year. But that guy's name is Chris Sky, who is really helping expose what I think is the worldwide agenda right now. And he's one of the only people that is talking in such a forceful, strong way. So he is a bit of an inspiration to me, even though he's younger than me. And I don't identify with his lifestyle in the way that he is independent and not dependent on the system necessarily or have dependence. So, but he is definitely a very fascinating person of the moment and has been for about a year in Canada. I don't know if he has made it down into your media, because the American media is very... very, very powerful and doesn't let a lot in from the rest of the world.
Correct.
But in Canada, for sure, we have our own person that's making some pretty big waves in this small country.
Well, that's very exciting. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So if anyone is listening, I think most of my listeners know the name, but... I don't know if he's got that kind of recognition in the United States at this time.
Okay, well, I will look into Chris Sky. Do you have a question or a message for the next guest? Preferably a question.
Well, can you give me a theme that I can make? Is it going back to the original theme of this show?
It does. Yes, it does in a way, because... this would be a difficult thing to ask of someone like you, because as you outlined earlier, you're not really someone that gets into a, let's say, a mob mentality real easily. And the mob mentality, arguably, that I'm trying to create with the show is, let's all concentrate together on improving the human condition in general. So that's pretty much the theme. And if you have a question related to that, that would be great.
All right. Well, I have to think a little bit about that. I'm very visual, so sometimes I have to look at the parameters to try and stimulate a response. And I'm looking at your email that you sent about the 7 questions to save humanity. And I often like the question how people see the future, what form of government they foresee the world living under, say, in 2030. That's always interesting, because that question can't be answered now, but on the replay in 10 years, it's very interesting to compare notes as to what...
That's really fun.
Yeah. So because we're in such a transformative period now, in 2021, I could ask the guest that question: what form of government will be the dominant form in 2030 in their part of the world, or overall in the world? I have an idea. I don't know if it's going to happen. I know what the plan is, but I don't know if it's going to be implemented or be accepted or be rejected. I just don't know. I think there's too many variables in the human condition to make great predictions. I would never make a prediction, because I think most predictions are almost always wrong. But yeah, I'd ask the guests, let me just reiterate, what will the predominant form of government be in the world in 2030?
In the world? So in other words, if you could, in case there's clarifying questions for me next episode, mm-hmm. Can you be more specific about what you think someone would say if they were asked about that today? What is the dominant form of government today?
Mm-hmm. Well, will it be a representative democracy? Will it be a communitarian dictatorship?
Anarchy?
Yeah, I don't see anarchy as being a possibility at this time.
You don't think that's what we're living in?
Anarchy?
Yeah.
No, I think it's moving into a communitarian tyranny right now. Dictatorship, authoritarian, crony capitalist system is moving into just a very different system enabled by technocracy and technology. Mm. The question is, will communitarianism, which is a word that most people don't know the definition of, will it be the dominant form of government in 2030?
Interesting. Some people might not view that as negative. For instance, people who live in smaller, intentional communities where the larger county, state, and even federal governments don't really affect them all that much. Now, you're saying this is different from what sounds to me more like a statist-imposed, top-down, artificial communitarianism.
Yeah, it's very different than I think most people understand. It's definitely a centralized, top-down, technocratic communitarianism where they use technology and technocracy to implement societal changes and implement societal rules, where they use a...
What if there is...
Mm-hmm.
What if there is no dominant government now or in 2030? Does the question still apply? Like, what I'm saying is, could you not, using nuance, define each government and each nation in a particular way that creates a sense of diversity between them? Or would you say that all of them fall under something that allows you to unequivocally say that most governments are one particular thing? Because for me, that is not obvious at the moment.
Yeah. Well, and you're in a different part of the world, and you only see what...
Yes, unless you see my surroundings and my network.
You really do. Unless you really make an effort to break out of your immediate media, it's not easy to get the big picture. And, it also depends on your interest. You may be concentrated on your local situation or hyper-local situation. But, yeah, I see it as a worldwide phenomena that is only going to intensify unless there is a realization of the core lie that it's being built on. So,
interesting. Okay, I think I understand the question. That I will leave in your wording, and we'll just see.
You can maybe refine it.
Whomever responds.
Yeah, you can refine it in any way you want. I don't have the perfect question.
No, that's a really good question. It's a really good question. We're going to ask that. That's going to be fun.
Well, I'll listen to that episode now, because I don't know who's going to answer it, but I always want to hear other people's view. Maybe they haven't even considered the concept, but that's
actually true. And that gives me the opportunity to explain the concept in a fun way. So, that pretty much wraps up the show. We don't have any other segments. There's just those three. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, thank you for asking it. It's been a challenge for me because it's just not my normal way of thinking. You have you think on a different plane than I do, for sure.
Oh, dear. I'm not going to unify the whole world in songs and harmony and love with my strange, different thinking, I guess.
Well, it might not be strange to your community. It's just different for mine. And we can only have overlaps in our thinking between people from different backgrounds. So you and I have an overlap in a certain community that we met, and it doesn't necessarily overlap into whatever you're concentrating on now. It's still interesting because obviously I have great respect for your mind, because I know that it takes a certain type of mind to decode the information around you and make it make sense.
Well, thank you. That's so kind. And sure. I do also agree that for the most part, that's kind of the way things work, really, is there is no one unifying concept. There are only intersectionalities and overlaps. And that if that's the best we got, then we'll do the best we can with it.
Well, that's something that is going to be beaten out of us over the next few years. This individuality is at great risk right now. The diversity in thought is definitely being purged from the system, as far as I can see. So free thinkers are definitely in danger, because dissent is rapidly heading towards some kind of criminalization.
Well, perhaps it's only that people are clinging to a system that no longer can exist, and it will crumble in a way that is beautiful. Because there have been people resisting domination, oppression, and this sort of thing for a very long time. And what's happening, from my perspective, is many people who have not experienced that level of oppression before are now experiencing it, and it will cause, unfortunately, greater understanding of what that oppression and suffering has been for a very long time, and people have been ignorant to it because they've lived in privilege and in kind of blissful ignorance of it. But the good news is that it's not a sustainable
empire, it won't last.
Well, nothing lasts forever.
No empires do.
Nothing lasts forever, and everything has to. If you don't change it, if the people that are running it don't change it, then someone will change it for them. So they just have to hope that they're changing it in a way that the majority agree with. Because if they don't, then it'll be unraveled and taken apart. But
We'll see how the majority versus the minority works. Hopefully the majority opinion is that we still value diversity. And I think that is holding true so far. Although I do think that humanity will experience what it's already experiencing, which is a split. It's kind of like
a schism.
I'm not going to call it evolution because I don't really think that word is too loaded, but I will say that it will cause not an evolutionary split, but a kind of a split in the species. There will be those who wish to be more cyborgian and those who don't. And there will be all sorts of divisions in between and even unanticipated ones. However, I think that there doesn't have to be war between them if we do this right.
Yes, I think the best word is one that IPS uses, a talk show I listen to on the daily, and it's schism, which is a division, a separation, a formal division in or separation from a church or religious body. That's not exactly, it's a separation of what was formerly one. So yes, I think,
it's kind of like we're in the Martin Luther moment, or of if you follow the Christian stories, like
yes, the division in the church, dissension in belief, civil strife. It comes from the Latin. Here we go with bring it back home to the original topic I was bringing up, from the Latin word schisma or schisma. The division of opinion, dissension in the church, borrowed from the Greek schismat, schisma, or cleft, division of opinion, to split, separate. So that's what's happening now, and it's happening in an epic way, and I don't know how it's going to end up, and I know how they're pushing it, but I don't know if it's going to get to the destination in a peaceful way. That's what I don't know.
I hope it does. I don't know either. But I wish you and your family all the peace well-being and harmony that you can have.
All right.
You certainly deserve it.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for bringing me on this very different talk. I hope my audience has enjoyed it. I've had a few people listen in, and it's different from my normal shtick. And I think change is good and variation is good. I'm not sure if people know any more about me than they may have before. I'm not a very complicated person, so.
You keep saying that. You're so funny.
I really don't think I am. I hope I've given a good insight. I hope I've answered some questions that made some sense. I have no idea what your other guests sounded like. But I would like to listen now to a few of them to see if I stack up against them. Where can people find these audios? Are they available readily?
Sure. You can search it on iTunes. Unfortunately, I don't really concern myself with other aggregators at the moment. It's just called I Like People. You can also go to maxime.com/I Like People. And that will get you to the home site, which allows you to download the podcast directly or listen to them in the web browser, which I learned from you. So thank you for all those tips. And also thank you so much for encouraging me to get into audio when I was very hesitant to share my voice and my thoughts with the world via that medium. Because oh, it's welcome. Because of you that I was able to really get into audio in such a really fun way. So,
and you're absolutely welcome. Way. Yeah, you're a great writer, but not everyone reads. I think more people listen than they do read, unfortunately, because you can't really express exactly what you want to write in an audio. But it's still a valuable dimension, and probably you reach more people.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been cool. I'm stopping my recording now, but we can just hang out and chat a little bit. Let me try to get down that question. So what form of government will
dominate? Yeah.
Dominate.
Just say 2030.
2030.
Yeah. Hmm. Here's one that you, yeah, I guess you're going to have to really pare this down because we've been going for almost 2 hours. Here's one. That,
yeah, that's okay. I'll be able to edit this pretty good. I made many pauses and yeah, so it'll be fine.
Guest Fred is your first one here. Should we play a bit?
This is a cultural review and community interview podcast for everyone who thinks...
I surprised him. Might... He was like, oh, we're interviewing all of a sudden? And I'm like, yeah. So he was like, I liked that. Thanks. I just whipped up my laptop and microphone and I'm like, so, ready for a podcast interview? And he was like, what the... sure. So, yeah, that was kind of
fun. Sometimes you got to be really quick and spontaneous with people.
Yes.
Actually, I want to see if I put your audio interview. You remember your KFI broadcast?
Yes.
That was a cool one. I want to know if it's on FakoTube.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Well, yeah.
And if it isn't, I want to know where it is right now. I know I have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is. FakoTube. Let me just see. KFI. I'm pretty sure it's not there.
Clint Eastwood, Ed Case, Irish Sweetie Refix, as well as, that was from Demon Days, I think. What's it called? Feel Good Inc.
Oh, yeah, great song.
Feel Good Inc. It's a great song.
It is a good song. I had to change the audio settings on Discord for sound to come through, and YouTube is very stuttery. It's not my system. It's the way YouTube is streaming. It's stuttery, which is too bad.
Yeah. And let's see. Yeah, I think that worked. I'm trying this new software called OBS. It's actually used for live streaming of like video games, but it also lets you capture specific audio inputs and monitor them and change the levels. So it's kind of exciting that I could do this on Linux for the first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Data 3, KFAI radio. Okay, so I can upload that.
I also found a possible replacement for Levelator 2.
All right.
Which was that cool trick for leveling audio.
It's
an Audacity plugin, but it's not as good. It actually is not as sophisticated as Levelator.
No, I know what you're talking about. I have a plugin too, and you're right, it's not as good.
And so now I have now I have a Windows XP computer just so I can run certain programs like that. It's so funny. It doesn't go on the internet, so it just has like the programs that will not function in later OSs.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's from 2012 you did that, December 2012. Isn't that crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Time flies.
I know. Actually, I was just thinking 2012 was a huge year. It was for me anyway. It was like Yeah, there's just so much going on.
Well, I'm uploading that to FakoTube right now, which is my audio video, mostly video platform, FakoTube. And let's see if people can rediscover it, because it still stands the test of time. Let me just sign off from my show now, because I've been going for 2 hours here, and people probably don't want to hear me babble at this time. So we're going to sign off on July the 14th, 2021. This one went a little longer than normal. It was different. I hope people are interested in it. And of course, don't forget, I don't know if you listen to my podcast. I can't go by the statistics because downloads are totally meaningless, because many bots and audio programmers download stuff automatically and people still don't listen to them, which is understandable. That's just how the technology works. So if you did listen and enjoy this, please send me an email at the Fakeologist site. There's emails, there's contacts. And of course, if you really liked it, you can go to fakeologist.com/donate and find out how you can support the show. It's totally wide open. There's no paywalls on my site. There's no hidden codes. All audios, videos are up there for rich and poor alike. And really, it's donations that sustain. Donations sustain FakoTube, the video site, and they also sustain the blog. So thanks for listening, and thanks for Max for the interview. And it'll be linked on my website. His website will be linked, so if you want to go listen to his other stuff, you can as well. And that's it. We are going to try and be back tomorrow, Thursday, July 15th, 2021. Marcus Allen is probably going to join us. He has a lot to say, and hopefully I'll be able to get in the studio tomorrow, but Marcus should be coming by with tons of stuff, most likely about the biggest psyop of our time, the COVIDian takeover of the world. And that's not really an exaggeration to say that. So we'll talk to you later. Take care. Good night.